turn with me to Acts chapter 9. This message this morning and this service this morning is probably, I was going to say one of the most, but I'm going to say that this service this morning is the most scary and exciting message that I'm ever going to share, probably, at least up to this point. So I want you to just stick with me on that, and hopefully that'll keep you guys sticking around to the end of the service. So here we go. Acts chapter 9, and we're going to start at verse 32. Now, we're up until this point been talking about, well, for the last little bit, Paul, but the author of Acts, who is the gentleman Luke, who also wrote Luke, turns the corner immediately, just pivots immediately to Peter. Now, we learned last week that Saul was shipped off to Tarsus to a Pentecostal boarding school because he was nothing but a troublemaker, and he was causing more and more trouble. And so we're going to come back to him in a few chapters. But right now, we're going to focus on Peter. So as Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. Immediately Aeneas got up, and all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs bedroom. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around, crying and showing him the robes and the other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you this morning for preparing our hearts for this. I believe that you've done that. I've asked you this week to do that. And to those that are here today, it's not a mistake or coincidence that we're here today. Those that needed to be here are here. And Father, I thank you now that you're opening up our hearts to receive a word from you that will change our lives forever. Father, open our eyes spiritually. Open our ears spiritually to see these truths, to hear these truths, and then to walk them out, Lord God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us today to make us more like Christ. Some way, somehow, do that. And we thank you as we give ourselves and make ourselves available to that end. And we pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. You know, God is not looking to get stuff from you. You know, there's a lot of times we have in church services, I don't know if you've noticed, for those of you here for the first time, when is this guy going to take the offering? We don't take offerings here. We don't receive offerings here is probably a better way to put it. I don't like to take anything. We receive them, as you gladly give them. But we have some boxes back there. And for folks that know, and we put it in the bulletin, and we mention it every once in a while, and I'll mention it right now, that if you would like to give something to the Lord, stick it in an envelope, put it in that slot back there in either one of those boxes. But here's the thing, and the Lord just woke me up with this. Actually, a couple of times this week, he woke me up. Out of a really good sleep, Tuesday night especially. It was pretty good sleep. He woke me up 4 or 5 times on Tuesday night. And then he woke me up Thursday morning. This was my first thought he gave to me. He said, I'm not looking to get stuff from you. I'm looking to get stuff through you. I said, I've never thought about that in that way. I want you to let that soak in. Just keep that up there. Look at those words again. God is not looking to get anything from you. He doesn't need anything from you. I mean, really, think about it. Does he need money from you? No, he owns everything. Does he need strength from you? No, he's strong enough on his own. Does he need wisdom from you? Advice from you? Smarts from you or me? Goodness, no. He provides all those things for us, doesn't he? There's nothing that we can ever offer to him except our worship, except our relationship, our hearts. But he's not looking to get anything from us. And you know, when we receive offerings in church, or I ask you, could you teach a class or help clean the church or go out on an outreach ministry or something like that, if your first instinct and first thought is, I can't believe they're asking something from me again, then your attitude is wrong and your perspective is wrong. I hope that by the end of this message today that your perspective is completely turned upside down. If your approach, if you're receiving as anybody comes to you and says, would you, could you? If God wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, would you, could you? If your first response is one of pushback, one of feeling like that he's sucking something out of you that belongs to you, that he's taking something from you that you own and that you worked hard for, that you'll change this thing around and realize that all God's trying to do is to get stuff through you. Through you. Let me give you an example or two. Okay. In the area of electricity, if a wire is running to a particular outlet and then you were to plug in a vacuum cleaner or whatever, then that appliance would work, correct? But if that wire was severed, would that appliance work? Okay, is it the wire that provides the power? See, it's not, is it? It's not the wire that the wire is a conduit that goes to ultimately a what? Some power source, right? Whether it be nuclear or water or wind or some other sort of machinery that's out there that's generating power, and it works through the lines and it finally gets to here, okay? The wire is not the power source. The wire on its own could do nothing. It's a conduit. The power goes through it, but the power doesn't come from it, all right? So here's another example, water. We have, you may have a blockage in your sewage system or water system at home. It's awful, you know. No one's gonna admit that. That's fine, all right. It happens. If a PVC pipe coming from the street is serving your house or whatever that sort of piping is made out of, it eventually turns into PVC and gets into your house, and you turn on the nice little faucet and out comes the cold water. It's wonderful. Drink it. Wash dishes with it. Wash clothes with it. Thank the Lord for running water. Amen? Yeah. But if that PVC pipe is busted, a root system gets in there and somehow it's severed, that water is going to eventually go kind of in the lawn and other sorts of places. It's not going to get to your house. It's going to get stopped up. You turn on that faucet. Anybody's ever turned on a faucet, nothing comes out. Yeah, that dry sound. You think, oh my goodness, it's awful. Does the PVC pipe provide the water? Is that the water source, the PVC pipe? No, it's not. It comes from, you know, a lake or a river or something like that. It works through the process and goes through the system and cleans up, and it finally gets to where we are when we turn on the faucet. The PVC pipe is simply the deliverer. The water goes through the PVC pipe. The water goes through. The electricity goes through the wiring. The wiring and the PVC pipe doesn't provide the water or the power. The power company generating it. The water sources from the lake. See, same as it is with us. Here it is. God is our water supply. He is our power supply. We're simply the wire or the PVC pipe that he wants to get things through. And for us to think that somehow we're providing the power, the means, the ability, the whatever for that he's called us to do is really an arrogance, and it's a misunderstanding of what our place is with him. You look at Peter. He said in in chapter 9, in verse 34, as he was laying his hands on Aeneas, he said, Jesus Christ heals you. Peter didn't heal that man. He was simply the conduit. It's Jesus Christ who healed that man. And then the next story is as he's reading it, as he's praying, if you look at it, it says Peter sent him out of the room, verse 40. Then he got up, he got down on his knees and he prayed. Who do you think he prayed to? Anybody? Jesus. It's implied, it doesn't say, but you know, he didn't pray to Buddha or, you know, some wooden statue somewhere. He prayed to Jesus. And then it says here, he turned towards the dead woman. He said, Tabitha, get up. Now, there was an interaction that went on there. It's implied. You got to read into it. It says that he got on his knees and he prayed. Now, when you pray, there's an act of communication that goes on, right? He speaks to you mostly. Hopefully, he speaks to you and you listen because there's nothing you could ever tell him that he didn't know anyway. So when he prayed, he probably just prayed something like this, right, God? I'm not sure exactly what's going on, what you want to do through me, but I know that she's dead and that they've called me from Joppa and I'm here now. And so what do you want to do? And God just said, turn to her and say, Tabitha, get up. And so if you look at the next verse, it says here, turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. Now, if God would have said, I want you to go and lay hands on her, or I want you to go and anoint her, I want you to go and do some other stuff, he would have done that too. But you know that he was walking in obedience to what the Lord said, just simply by saying, I want you to turn to her and say these words, Tabitha, get up. No more, no less. That's all I need from you. And he did. And so we look at what Peter did, and we realize that Peter was simply being a conduit for God to work through. Peter could have said, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to that city. I'm not going to Joppa. I'm not going to pay attention to this man who's been paralyzed for 8 years. I'm busy. I'm going to do something else or do nothing at all. But Peter made the choice to be a conduit because he realized that God didn't need anything from him. He just needed to get stuff through him. God's not looking to get stuff from you. He's just not. He wants you to have a relationship with him and he loves you. But he doesn't depend on you for anything or me. And if we need to be just step back again, let's not have an arrogant sort of approach to this thing saying, boy, God, you're really lucky I'm serving you. You're really lucky I'm here this morning. You're really blessed that I'm just a child of God. Oh, no, 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 no. I have so much to offer the kingdom. Oh, yeah, but let's back up here. He's not looking to get anything from you. Hey, what you have? He gave to you. The life you're living right now, he gave to you. The air that you're breathing, he gave to you. The heart that's beating, he's allowing it to beat. Listen, let's be careful that we don't have an attitude of, God's trying to get something from me. He's not trying to get stuff from you. I know I keep saying that over and over again, but I just want it to just soak in all the way. He's not trying to get stuff from you. He's trying to get stuff through you. All the difference in the world. Here's my next thought. The only limits that God has. Did you know that God has limits? You know what those limits are? What you and I put on him. That's the only limits that God puts on us. That God has is what we put on him. God has no limits. He's an unlimited God. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, and he doesn't need our help. But in our relationship with him, we say, God, if, God, but, God, period, God, build a wall, and we don't go any further than that because our faith, and see, that's where faith runs into it. Our faith is limited. And we say, all right, God, I know that you can provide, heal this, but you can't heal that. How many can believe God for healing a cold but not for cancer? How many can believe God to provide you $20 but not $20,000? See? God could do both and beyond. But he's only limited to the point where we limit him. Now, God, I don't think you can do 20,000. Well, why not? Where's your it's all in perspective, right? It's all in your perspective. I was talking with Linda Saffron the other day, and I've asked the ladies' ministry if they could raise $2,000 to do a missions wall. When you walk into the foyer, we're going to have a big, just a big a map of the world when you walk in. And it's going to cover the whole wall when you walk into the foyer. When you walk in, you're not going to miss it. It's going to be the map of the world. It's going to be beautiful. And then with that, we're going to put, Russ is helping with this, Russ Craddy, to do some electronics behind the cross. And so we're going to have some lights coming out, sort of a stream lights coming out. And he's got this thing worked out with the power source. And then at the end of them, they're going to be a little framed missionary, picture of the missionary that we support, their name and the country that they serve. It's going to be big enough for us to see, but small enough to where we can expand it, because I have intentions to fill that wall up. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to limit God. I'm not going to make great big old frames of people, you know, where we can only put 10 up there. I'm going to make them small enough to where we can put 100 or more up there, you know? And so I told Russ, I said, create in such a way where it's expandable. Because right now we're supporting 18-ish to 20 missionaries. But I want it to be expandable. And so I talked to Linda, and she said, man, $2,000. I said, so is a problem with $2,000? She says, well, that's kind of a lot. We've been trying to figure out. I got some ideas. We're going to make some cards and sell them and do some different things. And so by the time I got finished talking with her, she realized that $2,000 was nothing. Her perspective changed. It went from $2,000 to, oh, $2,000? Because, you know, we spoke faith into one another. We began to look at it from God's perspective. It's not all about money, by the way, but in that case, it was. Which, by the way, if someone wants to write a check, we can get that missions. By the way, I've ordered that wall. I've ordered the display in faith this week. I said, I'm not going to wait any longer. Time is of the essence. We got to get it done. We don't have the money, but God does. And I'm okay with that. That's what faith is. You step out. And then God provides. So they've raised a few hundred dollars. I said, that's close enough for me. That's going to be the down payment. That's the seed right there. So we've ordered. It's going to be up by the end of July, Lord willing. But the only limits that God has are the ones that we place on him. What are you limiting God to? Is the first thing that you do when you don't feel good is that you call the doctor or reach for the pill? Or is the first thing that you do say, God, I need a touch from you? You know? Is the first thing that you do when you need a financial need, you run to the credit card and charge it because you need to get that bill paid. Instead of saying, Lord, show me where to fish. Show me where to fish. Show me where to go. Show me what to do. You're my provider. You know, the only limits that God has are the ones that we place on him. If we see things from his perspective, it would change your world. It would rock your world. I think we've totally limited God in our lives because the world says God's not real, or the will, or your friends say he won't do that for you, or you tell yourself he can't do that, or the enemy, Satan, says, ah, that was 2,000 years ago. He doesn't do that kind of stuff now. And all these things conspire against our faith to say, yeah, maybe back then and maybe for someone across the shore, and maybe for that story that you read 100 years ago. But God doesn't do that today. But folks, he does. He does that today. For those that would believe. It's a matter of not limiting God. I know you can believe God for $20. Can you believe God for $20? Anybody here can believe God for $20? Sure, most of us can. Can you believe God for $20,000? See, you're limiting God. You're limiting God. The only limits that God has are the ones that we place on him. You know, Jesus prayed a prayer. He taught us a prayer, in fact. He said, and part of it was, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many know that verse? Okay, so what's going on? So think about that verse. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what's going on in heaven right now? Is there sickness in heaven? Is there? Is there lack in heaven? Is there anger in heaven? Is there unresolved relationship frictions in heaven? Is there anything going on in heaven that's poverty or division or sickness or lack in any way in heaven right now? None. See, what God is saying, what Jesus is saying is, I want you to pray that what's going on in the heavens right now, in this place called heaven, which is a real place, by the way, it's not some ethereal place where someone's playing a harp and floating on a cloud. Folks, it's a place. Like Charlotte is a place, like Rock Hill is a place. And right now, in that place, in God's kingdom, nothing but surplus is going on. Nothing but perfection, nothing but blessing, nothing but all that you need is going on there. And he wants that to come to this earth. He's saying to us, you pray that to this earth. Now, I know that we're battling against, you know, flesh and evil spirits and sickness. And folks, you know, the Bible says it's appointed unto a man wants to die. And I know there's stuff that goes on like that. But ultimately, God is saying to us, bring this down here because I want you to have heaven on earth. To battle against those things so that you can show my power and my authority, so that you can show that what I want for you is beyond what you're living right now, what you're limiting yourselves to. So he wants, in other words, to heal you. But don't limit him. He wants right now to provide for your needs, but don't limit him. He wants right now to restore your relationships, but don't limit him. Get out of his way. He's not looking to get anything from you. He's trying to get stuff through you. He wants to get healing through you. He wants to get restoration through you. He wants to get provision through you. He wants to get wholeness through you. He wants to bring the kingdom of heaven through you to this earth. You look about the stories about Peter, for example. In Luke chapter 5, you remember the miraculous catch of fish? He was sitting there fishing, and he wasn't even really officially a disciple yet. Jesus went, pushed the boat back, and he says, I want to teach. Can I jump on your boat? Sure, come on out. Jumped on the boat, began to teach because the crowds were so big. And when he got finished teaching, he turned to Peter and said, hey, throw your nets out on the other side of the boat. Peter said, I've been fishing all day. I haven't caught a thing. But because you told me to, I'll do it. And when he did, there was more fish than the net could hold. It was just the net began to break. Same net, same boat, same guys, same circumstances. One difference, the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. And he said, throw your nets out there. Very specific. And you'll catch a load of fish. Peter, the same Peter who walked on who was in the boat when the storm was going on, Matthew chapter 14, and here comes Jesus walking on the water, and Jesus said, Peter, come on out. And Peter did, came out of the boat and walked on water. Again, before that, same storm, same boat, same circumstances. One difference was Jesus, the word of the Lord, he said, come on out. Peter wouldn't have come out and shouldn't have come out if Jesus hadn't beckoned him to. But Peter beckoned him to, and by the word of the Lord, he stepped out. That's what we have to be careful with. As I said last week, don't do something and ask God to bless it. Find out what God wants to bless and do it. It's the word of the Lord. What's the word of the Lord? I am convinced this morning that God can get it to us. I'm not so sure that he can get it through us. But today, I'm trusting that he's going to get it through us. I'm going to do something I've never done before, and this is where the part that's scary and exciting at the same time that's getting ready to come out. And here it goes. I told you on Tuesday night that the Lord woke me up 4 or 5 times. And he woke me up 4 or 5 times out of a dead sleep. And the very first thing and the only thing that he said all 4 or 5 times was, what about Lauren Hartzler's car? And I went back to sleep. He woke me up again. What about Lauren Hartzler's car? I went back to sleep. And he did that 3 or 4 times more. Woke up that next morning, Wednesday morning. And I knew not only what God was asking of me, but I also knew what he meant by that. Remember a couple of years ago when we, as a church, were able to help Lauren Hartzler, who's a missionary to Egypt, be the church that put her over the top. And we sent, you know, I called her up and I said, buy the ticket. We got you. We got you covered for the rest of it. And so she went off to Egypt. And she's been a missionary for for the movement called Live Dead. Now, Egypt is Alexandria, Egypt, it's a really, it's a deeply Muslim country. And there's very, 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 very few Christians there. When I say very, very few, 99.9% of the people are Muslims, okay? Picture that. It's like looking in here and saying, everybody in here is a Muslim except for two. That's what the country is like in Egypt. It's just packed. They need Jesus. And the Lord has called her to go. And I remember a couple of years ago, she had a need for a car. I said, oh, I'm so excited. I want us as a church to be able to do that. In fact, I had someone in the church, we still have a line item for it. They gave $25 to Lauren Hartzler's car. And we just got it sitting there. Hadn't done anything with it yet because we need to add some more to it because $25 is not going to buy a car. And I've just kind of put that on the back burner. And other things have gotten involved in my life. Other things, you know, just ministry. The day-to-day. But he woke me up, God did, on Tuesday night four or five times and said, what about Lauren Hartzler's car? So I texted Bob Sandler, who's the man who's over the speed the light, the car purchases and all the needs like that for the District of South Carolina, and I said, has Lauren Hartzler's car been taken care of yet? He texted me back, no. And I said, all right, I want you to believe God with me about something. And then I contacted the leadership of the church after I woke up Thursday morning. And the Lord dropped in my heart the phrase, God's not looking to get stuff from us, but through us. And I said, all right, Lord. So I went out, talked to my wife, and I said, Kelly, this is what the Lord's telling me to do. I've never done this before. Just want you to be surprised on Sunday morning. She said, just tell me what you got. We'll do it. I said, all right. So I got a hold of the leadership, and I said, leadership, I need you to pray. I need you to make sure you're here. And I need you to pray ahead of it. And so, I'm not talking about anybody in here writing a check. What I am talking about is that you would not limit God. In fact, what I'd really like to talk to is people that don't have a dime to their name and challenge you. Well, some of you are thinking right now, I can write a $5,000 check. Well, good. That's not faith, by the way. Here's where faith is. Faith is saying, okay, actually, $5,000 is for some people is not faith because I can write that check. Faith is, I can write a check for $20,000, but I don't have but five. Now I'm stepping out of the boat, but by God's word, I'm not sure how he's going to provide. But he's not looking to get it from me. Remember, he's looking to get it through me. Some of you might be able to only afford $25. Good. That's not faith. I'm asking you to step out in faith. What kind of Father's Day message is this, by the way? I can't get away from it. I'm sorry. I'm giving you an opportunity this morning, and you may walk out of here saying, that's the weirdest Father's Day message I've ever had, Ben. And plus, by the way, I haven't been in church in a long time, and I knew that's all they want is money. I've never done this before, and I don't know if I ever will again. And folks, I don't need your money, and God doesn't need your money. He needs you to allow it to get through you, his money. The perspective is completely different. It's called a faith promise. I'm not asking if you have that money right now. You may be unemployed looking for a job. Step out and say, as God provides. Say those with me. Say, as God provides. Say it. As God provides. See, what we're doing is we're putting it on him. And if this is either going to fail miserably this morning or it's going to be a great success. And I don't think that it's going to fail because I don't think God would put this on my heart if he didn't bring someone or some peoples in here this morning that said, I'm not going to even put together, you know, manipulate things. All right, let's all stand here and who's going to do this? This is between you and the Lord. I'm just trusting that at the end of this service, when we count up all the faith promises, it's going to total $35,000, because that's what she needs for a car. That is a lot of money. That is a pile of money, if you're looking at it from that perspective. But I believe that God wants to provide that. And I'm just asking you, I'm not asking you to dip money out of your account, out of your savings account or of your child. I'm really not. I'm asking you to believe God through you, that God will provide. So when that unexpected money comes in, where did this come from? That's God saying, that's because you made a faith promise for that van, for that vehicle that we're going to get Lauren Hartzler. So I'm not looking for your money. God's not looking for your money. He's not trying to get anything from you this morning. What he's trying to do is to get something through you. And I want to give you an opportunity to step out in faith with a faith promise and say, Pastor Brian, I'm only in 11th grade. I'm only 10 years old. I'm on a fixed income. I'm unemployed. I make minimum wage. I have more month than money. Those are the people I'm talking to this morning, primarily. Is that you? If you have it, great. Write a check. God will bless. We're going to write a check. I've asked Kelly. You know what? Part of me is this. The tension here is this. I would love to say, and folks, I don't need you guys on this because God spoke to me to do it through me, $35,000, you know? Because I believe God can do it through me, right? But I'm going to step back and say, no, that's not going to happen. We're going to share this. We're going to share this blessing. We're going to watch God do something that he's never done in this church before that I know of, Stan. But through this church, I'm asking you to just simply believe God. How much through you do you think that he wants to do to be a blessing to this car, to this young lady who sent me an email this week, just yesterday, in fact. I didn't even get a chance to read it to you because we were so busy yesterday. But she sent me an email. She said, Your email so encouraged me. I've been discouraged here because I feel like that what I'm doing is not really making a difference. But your email has just lifted me up. God's timing is perfect, you know. It's beautiful, the body of Christ. So I really am not sure exactly how to do this because I've never done it before. I'm not a fundraiser. You know, I've been to a lot of churches and I've been in a lot of ministries where I've seen them take four or five offerings and spend forever on this. And that's not what I'm all about at all. I'm all about the kingdom of God. I'm all about souls. But I know I can't get away from what the Lord woke me up five times on Tuesday night and told me. And that this message this morning is speaking to some groups of people here today, somebody who is struggling in their faith. And this is money I'm asking for, but I'm not asking it from you. I'm asking if, again, you would allow it to come through you. That's my Father's Day message this morning. It's really the heart of the Lord, and I guess if I can connect it to Father's Day, think about what Christ has done for us and that God gave us his son, that through Christ we can be saved. And he's asking us to do the same. This may not mean anything to most of you. I don't know what you're thinking right now. I don't know if the Lord's stirring in your heart what he's talking to you about. But all I can tell you is this, you can trust me that I know that God's put this on my heart. And I don't know if I'll ever do it again, or this may be the first time that of many times that the Lord stirs our hearts to do some things. I want this church, though, to be a church that stops saying no and starts saying yes. I don't want to look at the check register anymore and say, well, we can't afford it. I want to be able to look and say, God, if this is what you put on our heart, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to leave it at that. I've asked Kelly to write a check in faith for 10%, $3,500. We just leave it at that. By the way, here's how much I believe that God's going to do this. I asked Matt to make out a check for $35,000 and make it out to the South Carolina District of the Assemblies of God with an earmarking it for Lauren Hartzler's car. It's a check written right here. $35,000 in this envelope. I'd love to mail this off tomorrow. But I can't do it on my own. So let me challenge you in your faith. Unemployed, minimum wage, fixed income, and the rest of us who are not in those categories, that you got the means. And you can step out right now and write a check. Let's make it out to Faith Assembly. Earmark it to Lauren Hartzler's car. Won't you join me? Won't you join me to allow God to work through you a miracle that I've never seen before, but I'm believing he wants to do today? I'm going to ask Amy to come up to the piano. I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'm just going to let the Lord work in your heart what that looks like. I know the leadership is with me on this. They're cheering me on. But I know more than anything, God is with us, and he's calling me to do this. So happy Father's Day. Don't forget your rulers. And let's pray. Lord, this is a really unusual message for me. First time I've ever done it. I'm scared and excited at the same time. I've been part of meetings where I've seen miracles, but I've never been the one to lead it. And I'll confess that I'm not really good at it. I'm a little uncomfortable with it, in fact, but Lord, obedience to you trumps all of those things. And I'm going to stand here and do what you've called me to do. Now, Lord, this is on you today. This is all on you today. But I pray, God, that you would open up our hearts and help us to stop limiting you. Lord, that you would stir in our hearts what you can believe, what we can believe you to do through us. Whatever amount that you put on our hearts that is stretching us out beyond our means is where faith is and where you want to sustain us on the water. Show us where to throw the nets to catch the abundance of fish. That same guy that you showed those miracles to is the one that stepped out and prayed for that man and then prayed for that woman in Acts chapter 9. I'm sure he had the memories of those miraculous things that you did in him and through him. And he thought, certainly, there's nothing too hard for you, when he prayed for those people. Lord, $35,000 is like to you finding an old scratched up dirty penny on the side of the road for us. It's really easy. For us, it's impossible. But Father, help us to get your perspective on things. And Lord, help us to realize that you're not trying to get anything from us this morning. You're trying to get stuff through us. So Lord, help us to believe for $35,000 for Lauren Hartzler, a car in Egypt, that the gospel of Jesus Christ could go out to the Muslim community there and that souls will be saved, because everything is connected to a soul.